This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. There are more than 50 closed prison sites in North Carolina. Many have been vandalized and left to decay. But the nonprofit GrowingChange.org is hoping to change that trend, turn it around. They've created a model to flip many of these abandoned prisons into sustainable farms. The farms are places where adjudicated youth can become small business owners in hopes of escaping the criminal justice system. A group of young men who were on probation 3 years ago are now leading the first of these prison flips in Scotland County, North Carolina. They're working with the Department of Public Safety to develop plans to convert old jail cells into aquaponic tanks and develop infrastructure to raise bees and livestock. We are joined first by the program's founder, Noren Sanford. He's a social worker who helped start the program. Noren Sanford, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Turning wards into plowshares. I'm proud of that one. I'm very proud of that. Tell us more. Tell us more about this.
So in 2000, I had the opportunity of moving back to my hometown of Laurinburg, North Carolina, to take care of my mother, who was an Alzheimer's victim. And I arrived as a newlywed, moving into my home to take care of my mom. And I arrived as a newly minted mental health therapist and quickly realized that we were losing too many youth to the correctional system. And I realized that each of the counties that I worked in had a small field camp prison that was closed or closing. And so we saw that embedded in our problem were aspects of the solution.
And how did you – so when did the idea come to you that you could bring – that turn these into a farm in particular?
Right. So in – we first wanted to run a clinical pilot program. We were coming with great support from the nonprofit Scots for Youth. And so we were a pilot program from that nonprofit 3 years ago and working with a large coalition including university partnerships, Department of Public Safety, a great deal of support from Cooperative Extension. We fielded this clinical pilot combining mental health therapy, service learning opportunities with a youth entrepreneurial focus. And that was the genesis of...
So what happened when you walked to the authorities who owned these prisons and said, hey, I got an idea. I want to take some kids in there. We're going to make it a farm, and I think we're going to keep them off the streets.
Yeah, that was a long walk. We've been through four commissioners of Department of Public Safety, department consolidation, two different governors, two different political parties. And so that was a three-year process, and it really began with the guys. So we gave them an opportunity to volunteer for this program. These were all young men who were given the choice, and they joined us in the hot Sandhills sun. And at first, when we, as a mental health therapist, introducing the metaphor of flipping their personal prison, meaning to turn their trajectory around, these were all young men who had been experienced school failure, had experienced a lot of family chaos, and been involved in the criminal justice system at a young age. When we told them that we were helping them turn their lives around or flip their personal prison, what you guys thought that was corny or lame?
Lame.
Lame. Thought that was lame.
Well, I tell you what, let's hear just how lame they thought that was. And I'll introduce two of the program's youth co-leaders right now. They've been working on the project since the start. Cody Oxendine is from Shannon, North Carolina, which is in Hope County. Cody, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Terrence Smith is from Gibson, North Carolina, a small town in Scotland County. Hello, Terrence. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Cody, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got connected with this program and maybe a little bit about what you were doing before that qualified you for the program.
I first met Norm when I was 15 years of age. I had to go to court for two counts of simple assault. And the court mandated me to go to one of his therapy groups for a whole year. And then I think when I was just about turning 16, he asked me one summer, he said, do you want to join me in the garden in Laurinburg and help me plant plants and harvest them and give them away to domestic violent cases and stuff? And I told him no because, you know, I thought it was a waste of time and it was too hot to be out there in the sun. So, but then again, I wasn't doing much better off by myself. You know, I was getting in a lot of trouble. So I thought about it. I said, hey, maybe just keep me out of trouble for a little while. And so I called him up one day, and I was like, can I join the group? Can I come out with the group? He said, yeah, it's fine. And I come out, and I actually enjoyed what I did out there. So I've been with him for almost 4 years now. So,
Terrence, yeah. Tell us about you, about what you first thought when you heard this program.
Well, when I first found out about it, I told him I was all for it. I mean, he didn't really go into details about, you know, the bigger picture and things like that. He just gave me the basic same pitch that he gave Cody, just come out there, work with me and the guys. And, you know, I just went out there. I didn't have anything else to do. My grandfather, he already had a farm and things like that. And when you're gardening with older people, it's either their way or the highway. So I chose to hit the highway, and I garden with Norm because he kind of lets us do it how we want to do it. Because there's a lot of ways to do one thing, but, you know, a lot of times when you get older, you get set in your ways, and it's just that one way. Mm-hmm. So Norm gives us that outlet, you know, to try different things and go down different avenues and figure it out for ourselves.
Now, Norm, I would say this. I bet his grandfather's broccoli actually grows, so if you give him too much latitude, yeah. You know.
That's right.
You
that's
want
right.
The lettuce to leaf yeah. out, don't you?
I will say that the gentleman thought it was a lot less lame when we actually walked them through the prison site in Wagram and explained that they were selected to be part of the leadership team to make this happen. And it's taken us all the way to the 14th floor of the Archdale building.
Well, Terrence, let me go back to you. What are you doing now at the farm?
Well, now I go to RCC. I just graduated recently this year. In the meantime, I still, you know, work with my vermiculture business.
Tell us what vermiculture is.
Well, vermiculture, by its book definition, is the management of the production of worms. So basically, I have my worms in a bin, red worms, and I feed them organic matter, and they take and, you know, digest it and poop, and then that's what I harvest because the poop is nutrient rich.
Yeah, that's good for your garden.
Yes, indeed.
It's good. I bet, does your grandfather, you know, use that?
Nah, he's still, you know, the old approach.
I won't ask where he gets his. So, Cody, what were you doing at the farm? Tell us about your activities there. What were you doing there as part of your activities?
Well, I work with the bees. Mm-hmm. We have just one hive, and it's pretty bad, you know. I think it was about 2 months ago, Norton, that they had got out, and somebody had kicked over the beehive like a dummy, you know. whoever messed with bees is kind of not all there. But anyway, me and Norton had to go out there and pick the whole hive back up, and I think there was like 40,000 bees in there.
Just can't call them by name because they won't come back.
Nah, really. They're not like a dog. Norton was pretty scared, but, you know, I just went in there and smoked them down and put them back. But other things I do, aquaponics piece, the whole group got the idea from Dr. Debney Hammer and of UNCP. She actually, I think she's a professor out there. She actually pitched the idea to me. And in the prison, we're going to turn the first front cell blocks into aquaponics tanks. So that's the piece I'm trying to get up and running.
Man, I can just see it now. A kid already in trouble with the criminal justice system saying, yeah, I'm just out here smoking bees. That's the last thing you need. But how does it work for you? I mean, first of all, tell me about the impact of being at a prison site and then just kind of what impact it had on you to take responsibility for those bees and know you could actually get them back and get things working again.
Well, I mean, you know, when Norton pitched the idea that we would be flipping a prison, you know, me being in the state that I was about 3 years ago, not even wanting to look at a prison, it was different. But the whole bee thing, I don't know, it's just something fun to do, I guess. So I just keep it up and running.
Terrence, how about you? I mean, the idea that you're suddenly taking care of worms and nurturing their poop for a living, I mean, this could not have occurred to you 2 years earlier.
Well, I actually got the idea from Norn. One summer we were out working in the garden, and he was teaching us different fertilizing techniques because we take the sustainable organic approach. So he was producing worm castings at his house, and he brought in his system, his bin, and then from there the Chamber of Commerce in Scotland County, they were hosting the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, and he said, well, man, it's something you should, you know, try out and all that good stuff. I said, okay, well, that's all fine and dandy, but what am I going to do? And then, you know, the rest is history. You can pretty much figure out what I did. I took on the vermiculture, and it's been kind of rocky, but I'm still, you know, sticking with it. And I talked to Rhonda Sherman, Dr. Rhonda Sherman, who is the leading vermiculture expert in North America. She's also a professor at NC State. And she's gave me a lot of feedback and a lot of things I should try, you know, different trial and error things I should do before I actually, you know, get out and say, this is just what I sell or this is just what I do.
Marketing is going to be the big problem. But tell me about the deep history here. Growing up in Gibson, what was that like?
Well, Gibson, it's a small town. If you yawn or sneeze or, you know, just close your eyes for too long going through there, you might miss it. But it's a, I want to say a tight-knit community, but at the same time, everybody's distant. When I say tight-knit, I mean everybody pretty much knows everybody, either from their childhood or they know your family or, you know, everybody knows everybody. I just say it like that. And Gibson is pretty much divided by the railroad tracks. And I stay on the left side of the railroad tracks, which is what you consider the good side. And then on the right side of the railroad tracks, that's where you go down there, you see a lot of the alcoholism, the drug use, the just stuff that kids shouldn't be exposed to. And when I was younger, my parents, they never wanted me, you know, on that side of the tracks. If I had to go to the store, they want me to go to the store uptown, not to go to one right there by the house, because they know what was going on around there, trying to protect me from it. And as I got a little older, I wouldn't say, you know, teenage years, but old enough, you know, to walk out and do things on my own, I started venturing down there, and then I got a little, you know, what's what I'm looking for? A little sidetracked from what I should have been focused on, and I started hanging out with people I shouldn't have been hanging out with, and it was pretty much a downhill spiral from there until I was about 13. That's when I got sent to wilderness camp, and that's when I really started, you know, talking and working with Norm.
Cody, tell us about Shannon growing up there.
Well, originally not from Shannon, from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I had to put that out there. But Shannon was like, I was talking to Anita. I think that's how you say your name. It's real hard to say. Anita. I'm thinking of Nida, but
she's our
different
producer.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I was talking to her the other day, and she asked me. It's mainly a Native American community. You don't see too many different races there. But like Terrence said, it was a small area of people, very close. If everybody knew everybody. But we had a big gang problem down there. And, you know, a lot of my friends were involved with gangs. They were a little bit older than me. And they was telling me, yeah, join, yeah, this and that. And me being young and naive, I did it anyway. And actually, you know, when I first joined, I figured, hey, it'd be fun. I'd get to hang with my friends all day. You know, it'd be pretty cool. Everybody would like me. But it actually caused me to get in more trouble than anything I've ever did in my life. So, like I said, it was not a good community to grow up in at all.
Norm, we are introduced to and listening to two very thoughtful and perceptive men. Who is in this program, and what does it take to be a success in this program?
So we set up the initial pilot program to work with youth who were on the edge of juvenile prison, or what we call YDCs, youth development centers. And to see if our clinical combination could impact change. Also, in an extremely tough area, what we see is the combination of school failure, out-of-home placement, out-of-school placement, on the overlay of poverty, is in our profession what we call the unholy trinity of risk factors. So these are the youth upon which the adult system is built. We're fortunate to have a lot of support from the juvenile crime prevention councils. That has helped to fund the clinical pilot to allow us to try to divert those youth from further involvement in the justice system.
Gang activity is a common denominator in at least these two stories. How common is it in the areas where you're working?
So growing up in Scotland County, I might have known a couple of things about troubled youth. On my arrival, all the trends that I had seen in a generationally poor area had grown more grim, and certainly the gang involvement has penetrated all of our rural area in Scotland, Hoke, and Robeson County.
So how does this work to counteract that? What's going on that makes this the antidote, if it is?
That's a great question. We believe that using the traditional approaches, we're often being out-competed on the street. We often scratch our head as adults about why youth would join a gang structure. Having said that, the gang provides some market incentives at the very beginning. I would say their retirement policy is extremely bad, but at the beginning, they are addressing some of the needs in these poor communities. They're providing the economic opportunities, the cell phones, the shoes, etc. So we presented the idea of youth employment combined with clinical support in extreme situations to be able to compete. And one of the most profound ways we do that is we've created a brotherhood of our own made up of Native American, African American, Latino, and Caucasian youth who all were in rival gang structures, giving them a sense of opportunity and a way to get out of their situation. And so far, it's 92% effective.
Well, you talked about being from Scotland County so yourself, and so you had a sense of what was going on there. You grew up there. You hinted that maybe you had some trouble yourself as a young man. I have to say, you're sitting here, you're in a suit. You're well shaved. How did you? And you're older than the mean age of the guys who participate in the program. How did you gain their trust? What'd you do?
And I also wore my shoes today, coming from Scotland.
You did. And your socks match.
That's right. Thank you. My wife helps with that. So, growing up in Scotland County, I did know some challenges. I grew up in a difficult situation, and that's kind of what drove my personal passion for this. I think coming from our culture also helps to have the perspective as to what change is possible, and most importantly, the ability to create the coalition that we've done over the last 3 years.
Is it replicable, and are you working to get this extended in other parts of the state?
Fortunately, we received a great response from the executive leadership team at Department of Public Safety in December of last year, and they did mention several other sites. We want to make sure that we do this initial prison flip correctly, and using our university partnerships to make sure we're creating a replicable model. We would like to see the model given away to other sites. We would send out what we call reclamation teams to other communities to help their leadership teams to flip the sites in their counties. And then from that, to form a federated system with a mutual branding opportunity. You can imagine Prison Flip Blueberries, Prison Flip Biochar. We are working on a graphic novel series. So Prison Flip Comics.
Terrence, you and Cody, didn't you produce a graphic novel about this?
Well, we're still in the process of working on it. I'll tell you the plot of the story a little bit later, but we all have to come together and write, find a situation that we feel comfortable, telling, and then, actually sitting down and writing about it. We're working with I don't want to say a comic book artist, but a graphic novelist. His name is Robert Chambers, and he's a part of our wounded, well, I don't believe he was wounded, but part of our veteran, part of our coalition, and he's going to help us write our novels and, help draw it out and stuff like that.
Well, we are all out of later, but I want to thank you all for being on the program. Terrence Smith and Cody Oxendine, two youth co-leaders of the nonprofit GrowingChange.org. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Noren Smith is a social worker who founded and chairs the board of GrowingChange.org. Noren, thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out more about GrowingChange.org at our website and see some photos of the group in action. StateOfThings.org is our website. Just ahead, classical music with a twist, the musical duo of cello and bass, Low and Lower, who you can hear right now. Please stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.